This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, producer extraordinaire and Hall of Famer Fred Bottomer has put together a hell of a show for tomorrow already. This is a little tough around the holidays getting guests. We have Carl Cannon on from Real Clear tomorrow at 3:25. He's a great, great political reporter. Joe Warmington. I love Joe. He's up in Toronto, and he is a conservative newspaper guy in Toronto who calls out Justin Trudeau on his nonsense all the time. Joe's going to weigh in on some of the things related to our 51st state, Canada, which I love when Trump trolls them. John Murawski tomorrow. We'll talk about the increase in civics courses on college campuses, or maybe some wishful thinking there. So that's all coming up tomorrow. We have a Reardon Roundtable on Friday. Jane, Jeff Rainford, GOP consultant David Barklage, all on the panel on Friday. So that's going to be fun. And we'll take you right into Christmas with some fun stuff on Monday and Tuesday. And I get to close out my my whole holiday experience before I take a break with some Christmas music next Tuesday night. So we're looking forward to that as well. Hey, John Seiler is back with us. He is a researcher at the National Association of Scholars. We've had him on before exposing a lot of the DEI stuff. He put a story on my radar about KU that I found relatively interesting. John, how are you this evening? Welcome back.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on again.
Before I get to the KU story, I just went over this on the air, and I'm guessing maybe you've seen the reporting by Luke Rosiak about all these positions that the Biden administration is trying to hire before the end of their term with DEI. Did you see all that?
I did, and that's of great interest to me because, you know, as you know, this is closely connected to what we're seeing at universities, and I think that we have to understand it's a personnel game, and the Biden administration has made a shrewd move, and it'll be interesting to see how the Trump administration responds.
Yeah, because as I indicated, I don't know enough about this, but you do some hiring and you sign paperwork and stuff like that. It's going to be a little difficult maybe for the new administration to undo all that, and that's probably what they're counting on.
Yeah, that's correct. It's always difficult to fire people. It's always difficult to let people go from any position. That's all the more true of people in the federal government. And so, you know, on one hand, this could mean that people have a lot of people aligned with the Biden agenda, especially surrounding issues of identity, have access to power and control. But it also, you know, I think about this. This is also sort of, you can think of it in terms of patronage. This is a way of rewarding a lot of people who align with your political goals. Even if they don't end up having any power in the federal government, they'll still probably, a lot of them, could very well stick around for a long time and take a salary funded by us.
But John, aren't you just a little bummed out that you're not a race grifter making $300,000 a year? Because these things tend to pay pretty well.
I mean, if I've learned anything, it's that the cash continues to flow into this sort of enterprise. So yeah, maybe I should take my lesson and you know, if I ever need a backup job, maybe that's the way to go.
Well, let's talk about the University of Kansas. I'm a University of Missouri guy, so we do not much care for the University of Kansas, although our jealousy has kind of gotten a little out of hand over the years. But you put something on my radar, as I indicated, that's very, very interesting. And, you know, I had Jamie Reed on the show two nights ago. Jamie is our whistleblower from here in St. Louis with the WashU Children's Hospital Transgender-Affirming Care Clinic, which is now no longer, thanks to Jamie, and a lot of people who shed light on that particular topic, including me, I would say. But the folks in Kansas haven't gotten the message on some of this yet, have they, John?
No, and that's what I found when I did some investigative digging into a new program at the University of Kansas. So the other day for the City Journal, where I publish, I'm now a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, so I publish a lot. I'm doing a lot of investigative work for City Journal. I published a story about how the University of Kansas has created a center that aims to recruit, in their words, scholar activists, and actually other activists who are not even scholars, to explicitly fight what they call anti-trans laws and anti-trans legislation, both in Kansas and around the country. This center that is housed in the public university in Kansas is making its explicit goal to fight policies that were supported by a supermajority of the elected officials in Kansas. That is a remarkable way to pit a university against the people it is ostensibly supposed to serve.
So they write things like trans studies, like trans lives, is under severe threat on a national scale, right? So they're basically trying to tell people that this is an important position, an important organization because of evil Republicans.
Yeah. So to give background on the story and the scoop, the Andrew Mellon Foundation, which is this very progressive, very wealthy charitable foundation, gave a grant to support a part of this initiative. That's, you know, the university itself has skin in the game. This initiative is housed in the University of Kansas. And if you read through the document, they actually describe how after a while, some of the personnel who are hired through the program will be funded exclusively by the university. So this is a long-term financial commitment by KU. And what because this is a public university and they made a proposal for a grant, I was able to acquire that proposal through a public records request. And in that request or in that proposal, they lay out exactly what this initiative at the flagship state university is supposed to do. And they start by saying trans lives are under attack. And why are they under attack? They specifically point to legislation in Kansas and around the country that is meant to push back on the truly concerning rise of gender ideology. They talk about things like the decision by the Kansas Attorney General to keep biological sex on state ID.
Yeah, they call that heart-wrenching, right? They call that a heart-wrenching decision by, the AG.
This is an incredibly reasonable thing to do. And it's in certain cases actually important to make sure that if you're identified and but not necessarily able to identify yourself, that people have this kind of information. But according to the document that I acquired, the entire purpose of creating this new initiative that's supposed to recruit new professors to the university and recruit activists, scholar activists throughout the country is really to fight that kind of law. And they also just vaguely reference how the ACLU has collected a number of instances around the country where legislatures have pushed back against what I would describe as gender ideology. And now they say this is happening in Kansas too, and that's a really bad thing. And that's why we need to create this initiative to garner this money, to get the support of outside funders and the university. And if you look at what Kansas has actually done, they've passed reasonable laws. They've passed laws relating to, keeping boys out of girls' sports, things like that. These are not the most controversial laws, even in the realm of pushing back against gender ideology. And what's really remarkable about this is that after the election of Donald Trump, I think a lot of people acknowledged two things. Even people on, the left of center, they acknowledged that, first of all, identity politics, and particularly gender ideology, has gone too far. And there was a public mandate, a public response to the national messaging about that issue in particular that was a part of the story of Trump getting elected. People have pointed to various ads that he's run and said, bringing up the trans issue was really effective.
Yeah, and it was
time, they've said,
it was effective because it's what I call a 90-10 issue. 90%, if not more, people in this country are on our side of this, right? It's a small, and it's apparently people who write proposals for universities, because as you note in your work on this, they say in the proposal that this would have ripple effects adding another trans studies scholar would have ripple effects and could draw a larger pool of trans studies focused graduate students. So they're really pushing this. They're tone deaf to where the rest of the world is, not only the country, but the rest of the world is on this. And I think it's good that it's being exposed. Now, exposing it, John, will that have any consequences for KU, do you think?
Well, you know, that's a really important point you raise, because what we're seeing here is just a kind of microcosm of what is going on more broadly, which is that universities and outside funders like the federal government and foundations are creating a pipeline, a career pipeline for scholar activists, for people who want to turn universities into a vehicle for activism, which, by the way, makes people really object to what universities do in general. Now, will there be any effect? I really hope so. You know, sometimes there's a reasonable argument to make that, well, maybe this program that is relatively controversial, it's protected by academic freedom. There are legitimate arguments to make about some programs that a lot of people would even say, this is a 90-10 issue. Why is a university doing this? Well, we protect controversial ideas, or we allow controversial ideas in universities. But this is a different case. This is not just a professor saying something that a lot of people disagree with, or saying something that sounds radical. That's something that you should protect. But what you don't have to protect at all is a university saying that it wants to engage in an explicitly partisan political project. The document even identifies with the progressive culture of its town. It talks positively about how the city of Lawrence is this blue dot in a sea of red, referring to how it's aligned with the Democratic Party, right. And they talk about that in a way that this is really a good thing. That's absolutely corrosive. But to this is, any kind of healthy university system.
This is what they do. This is exactly what happens. And John, let me share this story. And I was very disappointed. I had a very awkward start to the show because yesterday, and it was like a Christmas gift was dropped into my lap as a radio guy. There was a listener who reached out that had this audio from my alma mater in the journalism school at the University of Missouri. And they shared it with me. And this was from the day after the election. And it is, it's pretty stunning, even for someone like me. Well, I was given permission to use it, I thought. And then there was a little panic that set in because they didn't want the student being affected. And I understand that, certainly as a parent. But the story that I shared without playing the audio, and I committed to not playing it at this point, maybe when the kid graduates, and I'm going to hang on to this. And I don't want to get anyone in trouble, and I'm not using names. But listen to this story, because the trans issue came up from this professor. And, that's something that he was pushing in this class. But then this is a little bit separate, but I think you'll appreciate the punchline here. So there are two girls. There's a girl in the class that starts telling the story about her and her friend. And her friend has a dog. And the dog, I think they were out in the woods or doing something. The dog has bugs all over it. They're not sure. They had flea and tick on it, so they didn't know what was going on. They see all these ticks. So they run it to this vet clinic. The vet clinic, though, has Trump signs, campaign signs out in front. So the girl's horrified by the evilness that's inside the vet clinic, right? So they go in with the dog. They're terribly, upset by the fact that these are Trump folks. And they tell them what happened. And the receptionist and the people at the vet clinic are super, overwhelmingly nice. The girl admits this in her storytelling. And they basically say, oh, this is easy. The dog has, these seat ticks. Just use this spray. We don't even have to charge you for anything. So the takeaway from this girl wasn't, man, that's pretty nice of the vet clinic to do that. They're Trump supporters. I wouldn't have expected that. The takeaway was, this is what they do. This is what the evil Nazis do. They'll throw you a bone of generosity, even though they represent the most vile things on the planet. That was the actual takeaway from this girl. And you can't tell me that that's not been pounded in her little tiny brain from professors like the one that I wish to highlight at Mizzou and even high school indoctrinators. But that was quite stunning. So I guess my point is this doesn't surprise me with KU. I'm sure that you haven't been surprised along the way in exposing a lot of this, because this is the Marxism that exists on these college campuses.
And, it's really remarkable to see how it's not just that university professors happen to be very, very progressive. What we're seeing is universities making a commitment to recruit people on the basis of their progressivism.
That's right.
And on the basis of their commitment to activism. It doesn't happen all the time. But when you have department, you know, in this proposal, they talk about how they're going to hire another, they already have several, another professor who specializes in transgender studies. And now that's the way that discipline is structured. It's not just anyone using social science to study the phenomenon of people with gender, gender confusion. This is a tendentious discipline. This is a discipline that's devoted to advancing a particular idea. And what they're doing is creating a career path for people who want to spend their lives advancing these ideas. And they're doing it effectively on the public dime. And they're also doing it in the one institution that we have in this country that is supposed to be devoted to the pursuit of truth. There is an active effort by foundations, by federal funders, by universities and university systems that's still ongoing and might actually ramp up as a new administration comes in that they oppose, an active effort to recruit more people who align with this vision for higher education.
It's
and
revolting.
That's absolutely a trap.
And to bring it full circle, these are the people being, you know, indoctrinated and you know, trained, if you will, at these universities that are also applying for the $310,000 DEI job for the federal government. So the taxpayers get hit in a double dipping way. John, great work as always. Have a great Christmas. I appreciate coming on here.
Thanks so much.
Audio cut of the day is coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.